Good afternoon, Wrangell. You're listening to Talk on the Rock, your local live call-in show. The time is 1:02, and today we have Nick Howell in the studio to talk about the Tongass Tough Man Triathlon. So you can call in any time during this program to ask a question or just say hi. That number is 874-2345. Nick, thank you for coming in today.
Thanks for having me, June.
Cool. Tell people a little bit about yourself. How might people know you in the community? And then we can get into the hard stuff.
I guess I've been raised here since I was kindergarten. So I guess that's how most people would know me. Lately, it's been kind of on the fitness side of things, doing ultra races and kind of endurance events and now putting together the Tongass Tough Man.
So
I guess other than that, I just do construction and running.
Yeah. So give me a sense of what are these big races that you have done recently, or even not races, but just your own personal running endeavors.
I guess it kind of started it's been some time now. 2010, I did the military had a, what they call the German Armed Forces badge, and it was it's a series of events, but a 20-mile ruck march and full battle rattle, and so I'd never done anything to that extent before, and never really thought about marathons or anything. So they had this event, and in this ruck march, they have a placement, and it's gold, silver, or bronze. And I did the event, and during the event, I kind of learned a little bit about what the human body could do. I didn't eat, I didn't drink much. My body cramped up, and I had cramps took me 4 hours, and I cramped up for a couple hours, and I didn't realize that you could go into a state where your body, it was really mind over body of where, I didn't realize your legs could cramp and have a cramp that didn't go away. It was locked up. So when I finished this event, it was pretty to overcome that and then realize like, oh, wow, like, we're capable of a lot more than you think, you know. So some time went by and I had went overseas. When I got back, I was mentally I was a little messed up, so I started getting in trouble a lot and fighting and drinking and doing drugs and going to jail all the time. And so one day I got out of jail, and there was a marathon the next day here in Wrangell that was Bearfest. And I was like, I needed a pick-me-up. So I just thought I need something difficult in my life. And I'd always wanted to run a marathon. It's a fearful thing when you have something that you're not sure if you can accomplish. And it's one of those things, especially coming from a small community like this, you have a fear of being judged. I feel that's what keeps a lot of people from things, is that not so much whether they really can do it or not, but it's the fear of being judged if they fail. Wow. And for me, especially being a physical person, that was a big deal. If I failed at something like that, what would people think of you? Especially when they already have this persona that you're tough or you're a certain way. That was really it. And I went out and I did the marathon. I did great. I wasn't a runner or anything. And so that kind of was the real beginning of, I did a few more events like that, marathons and a run up north in the cold that was pretty difficult. And learning about your body and your mind and just that there's really the only limits you have is the ones that you set. I think we all have a regulator we kind of put in our brain. And so that's kind of what this event is for people to to overcome their fears and to try something really difficult. And that's why it is what it is it's supposed to bring that level of difficult, you know, overcoming something hard to understand that you have more inside of you.
Absolutely. Yes. Mm-hmm. I love it. Yeah. I mean, you're saying this is a real challenge, you know, obviously it's about fitness, but it's just about challenging yourself to do something you might not know you are capable of doing, something that scares you, kind of going in the direction of your fears. I love it. Yeah. Give me a sense of, you know, where would you be if you didn't have these kind of challenges? You know, it seems like you need this stimulation. Without it, I'm wondering, you know, would you be at a loss? What would that even look like for you?
Yeah, so for me personally, this is, I'm an addict, you know, myself, and that's for better or worse, and that I know about myself, so I don't really get to choose that, but I get to choose what I apply it to. And so if I didn't have that, I probably wouldn't be alive, I'm sure of it. But it's a way to redirect kind of that.
You said you wouldn't be alive.
Oh, yeah. No. I have to have really difficult things in my life for me to be engaged, for me to be, it's kind of hard to explain, but that is my normal, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm just an extreme person, and, you know, I can go extreme in a good way and use it to better myself, or I can use it in an extreme way and become detached from people and become, just really not a good person. And psychologically, it's just, you know, it's not just a physical thing. It helps to temper my mind. It helps me be disciplined, because it really helps with discipline, and it follows suit with all other aspects of my life. And it gives me a goal. That's one of the biggest things is I'm not wandering so much anymore. You know, I feel so many people are just wandering and they feel they need something, but they don't have the tool set to understand what they need to do to, you know, to apply themselves to something and to set goals and to, you know, cause that's really what a lot of it is. It's having the tools to understand, you know, how to get through life and what it takes to, I guess, better yourself in whatever way that is that you're looking for.
Yeah. I'm wondering, you know, getting these tools to better your life. I mean, did that just happen for you? You just said, well, I'm going to do this marathon, and that kind of changed your way of thinking? Or did you really consciously say, you know, I need to pursue something. I need to engage myself with something that is going to give me the stimulation that I need and allows me to grow? You know, how conscious was that for you?
Very conscious. I've read a lot of books. Like I said, spending time in jail or by myself, just learning. My big question is, what's the point of everything? I was lost for a long time. I didn't understand things. After coming back from overseas, the world, what I thought of it being young, my perception was totally flipped. And so it was hard to trust people and society and the way things were. I questioned everything. I still question things, but looking for that question, I feel I understand things a lot more. I understand why people are the way they are. And so this is just a tool I found for myself that can keep me, like I said, on a path. I mean, I have other things I love just as much as the physical, you know. I love to escape and do radical things in other places, and right now I need to kind of to be where I'm at. I have a, so this helps me to deal with that extremeness of life while being, trying to live, be the normal, I don't know how to explain that, but kind of the daily life of, you know. I feel I'm kind of like a, I have like a free spirit of, you know, like the adventure spirit. And I guess this helps keep that at bay in a way.
Yeah. And you're saying at bay as in the adventurous spirit is, it's really provocative. It's stimulating. But if you can't like feed it constantly, then it can get you in trouble. Mm-hmm. It can, you know, lead you down whatever may be addiction, depression. Yeah. And you live in Wrangell. So it's like, it's kind of, it's hard to fulfill that. It can be.
So this is like my escape without escaping. It's a way to challenge myself, which is what adventures to me. I like adventure challenges. And this is that I get to live in my own mind. And, you know, every time I go out for a run, that's what it is. I'm in that mindset of I feel free and I feel I just that extreme challenge, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I think... you know, I think a lot of us that are tuning in might not be taking on this challenge specifically, but when you're talking about why you do this, what it gives, you know, for you, I think a lot of people can relate to that. You know, this is something that we can all grab on who's listening and say, yeah, I get that. You know, I have that need inside me to do something and it's scary. The thing that you need to do the most is the scariest thing. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah.
So let's go to a quick break and then we'll come back and then we'll talk triathlon. You know, we'll get into it. So you're tuning into Talk on the Rock, your local live call-in show. The time is 1:14. We have Nick Howell in the studio. You can call if you want to ask a question or just say hi. That number is 874-2345, and we will be back shortly. All right, we are back. Nick Howell and I are talking about the Tongass Tough Man Triathlon that he is organizing. so Nick, go ahead and tell me when and where.
So on June 30th, we're going to have a triathlon. It's about a half Ironman size. There's four categories of triathlon: sprint, Olympic, half Ironman, and Ironman. And this is roughly about a half Ironman size, which is a half Ironman is a 1.2-mile swim, 56-mile bike, and a 13.1-mile run, a half marathon. And this one's just slightly extended on the run, 14.5. Reason being because of the course. So the event will start at 6 a.m. at the pool. And there's six solo doing the full all by themselves. And then there's eight teams. So that's a total of 30 participants. And the solos will start, and then following them will be the teams. And once they finish their swim, they'll get out of the pool and they'll transition onto the bike. And the bike course will start from the pool and go around the loop and out the road, out to Lower Sal, just past the bridge, out past Lower Salamander. And on the way back in, you'll turn off and go around Nemo Loop and back to the pool. For 56 miles, and it's about 5,000 feet of elevation. And then you'll transition immediately into the run. And the run will start at the old gym, and you'll run out the spur road up above Rainbow Falls to High Country Shelter and back down on Rainbow Falls side and back to the pool for 14.5 miles.
Give me a sense of how you decided on this route.
Part of it was the distance seeing how much road we had in Wrangell and trying to get a distance that, one, people could kind of relate to, and if you're somebody from out of town, you kind of understand a half Ironman. And then partially, it's quite a bit more difficult than a half Ironman. It's, you're closing in on probably the difficulty of an Ironman because of the terrain, and the elevation, and just the type of road and the bike you got to have. But so it's kind of what they call an extreme triathlon. And so the Rainbow Falls kind of dictated the run. I just always thought I'd do a lot of up and over, and I thought that would be a pretty neat run. It goes up and around, and it's something different. And again, I wanted something that could draw people. And, you know, people like things that are not only difficult, but that are rewarding. And to me, that's a lot more rewarding than running down the road for 7.5 miles and turning around and coming back. And same with the bike. So,
yeah, I see what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Could you tell us who some of these 6 solo participants are? I'm curious.
So I have 2 brothers that are doing the full. And then there's a doctor and his wife out of Juneau that will be doing the full, which I'm really excited about because, they're an older couple, 50s, and he's closing in on 60. And to me, this is just as much about the viewers as it is the participants, because I feel that it's very, contagious. And it's even more contagious if you see somebody you know go out and do, you know, something great like this, or you watch somebody like my brother who goes from, you know, less than a year ago, he came to me and said, "Hey, man, I want to lose 40 pounds. And I said, "Well, I can't make you do anything, but you need a goal." And that's where the goal comes from is, you know, his goal was a marathon. He ran a half marathon, a marathon, and now he's doing, you know, half Ironman sized triathlon. So this is just about as much about the people watching. So that's exciting. Mm-hmm. And then, Robbie Rooney's doing the full. He's originally from Wrangell. But I think he lives in the Seattle region now. And then there's a Crossings, individual who's done, ultra marathons before. So he kind of knows that field, but he'll be coming right out of the field when he does it, so he might be a little underprepared, but at least he knows how it works. So,
absolutely. And then, just quickly, give me a sense of, you know, for these folks that are on a team, you know, what does that look like? How are they going to do that? Is one person going to swim and the other person's going to bike, or they're going to somehow divvy that up?
Yeah. So there will be one person will swim. And as soon as they get out of the pool, there will be a 5-minute delay before their team member can take off. And what that, imitates is transition, as you know, like a solo person has to come out and change out of their gear and into bike gear. So that there'll be a 5-minute delay, and then their team member will take off on the bike. And then as they come in, they'll have another team member, which will have a 3-minute penalty for transition. And then they'll take off and finish the run.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Give me a sense, do you still need volunteers for this event?
Yeah, so we still need volunteers. You can get a hold of myself or Lucy Robinson. My number is 305-0784. You can find me on Facebook, or the Tongass Tough Man Facebook. Also, just kind of as a caution, while we're on here, is with all the bikers going out the road, the bike, I imagine, is probably going to, it'll start around 7 a.m. and the bike course closes at 4. So from 7 in the morning till 4, there's going to be bikers out on the road. And so we're trying to steer people away from driving off the pavement because there's not a whole lot of road out there, and especially a lot of people like to kind of, they don't like to slow down so much out there. And for this event to continue on, we hope it to be an annual event, so we're trying to knock out any unnecessary accidents.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so everybody be vigilant if you have to drive. And really, if you don't have to drive at 7 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday, yeah. Like, don't sleep in or go hang out and watch people.
And we're going to have a leaderboard at the pool there, so people can kind of go there and outside and just check the leaderboard if they're curious where people are at. Okay. So.
That's awesome.
So they don't have to drive out the road to kind of check on them.
Okay, yeah, that's cool. So, you know, you mentioned that you really want this to be a spectator event because people can get something out of that. And so that's a good way for, you know, you to spectate if you're just in town. You know, if you're just doing your groceries and you want to go to the pool before you go in to, you know, do your errands in town, see how it's running, and yeah, maybe by the end of the day you'll see, wow, things have really changed and people have progressed. I guess I guess that means that you'll have people scattered at different checkpoints, and they'll be, you know, calling into the main office or whatever to say, hey, you know, so and so just passed my checkpoint. Is that how it works?
Yeah, so we're going to have three aid stations on the bike. It's really two, but you hit one of them twice. And so we're going to have one at Nemo Loop right there at the end of the pavement. And they'll be giving off, you know, how people are doing. And then there'll be another one at Lower Sal, which we're hoping to get comms out there so we can relay that information back into town. So probably out until the end of the pavement's pretty good place to watch them, unless you get out there early and you'd like to just kind of you know, go to a campsite or pull off and just route people on as they're going by. That's a good idea. We just don't want a bunch of excessive back and forth, you know, unnecessary driving. We want people to view it, but just not a lot of unnecessary traffic. And there will be a checkpoint on top of Rainbow Falls as well.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So how long does it take somebody to run one of these or to complete one of these?
I'm going to go out on Saturday and do it myself.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, I'm training for one in France in September. Wow. That's a really extreme one, about twice the size of this one with 22,000 feet of elevation. So that was my next big challenge that you had asked me last time I was in here.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is kind of like a training for that for me. But I didn't want to ask people to do something I haven't done myself. And then the other was, I do want to get a gauge on what probably that would be the faster athletes, how quickly they could get it done. So I kind of know I can relay kind of how I feel about it. And two, so I can get that sense of how long it's going to take somebody. But I imagine you'll start seeing people come across the line 7-8 hours in. So,
yeah. Okay. I thought you were going to say longer. Honestly.
Well, it's probably longer for a majority. The course is open until 9 p.m.
Uh-huh.
So that gives about 14, 15 hours for participants to get across.
Okay.
But there is a 12-hour hack that you have to make if you're solo to get the title Tongass Tough Man. So it's kind of a 12-hour event, but the course is open for longer.
Okay, gotcha. Cool. And then do you have prizes?
Not really. There's medals. You get a medal, and there are t-shirts for participants, logo t-shirts. So, but my hope is that the event grows over time. Hoping by next year to make it an open water swim and just make it hopefully more extreme, just because I want to make it appealing. You know, this year's really for the town and the people, and to gain interest. But over time, I'm hoping that maybe we can grab people from out of town. And for that, it has to be extreme to reach extreme people that are willing to travel for something like that. So that's my hopes with it.
Okay. That makes sense. And so you're going to be out Saturday doing this on your own, testing the waters out. And then the day of, you know, what will you be doing exactly?
I'll probably just be at the pool, just hoping everything goes smooth.
Okay.
Maybe driving around a little bit. I'll have a hard time probably staying put, but that's why I'm not doing the event. I'd really like to be in it, and I figured if, you know, I didn't know if it really gained much interest. So if only a few people were doing it, I'd be participating in it. And I know a lot of people are disappointed I'm not, but there's a reason for it. I want to make sure that things run smoothly. So
cool. Yeah. And then you'll be at it this Saturday. So you still get that challenge and cool.
And next Saturday, we're having a check-in and a spaghetti feed at the old gym there. So at 6 o'clock, anybody who's interested, wants to volunteer, has friends or family that are participating, everybody's welcome to the spaghetti feed.
Okay. Awesome. Sounds like a good time. Then I think, Nick, we can wrap up, and thank you so much for coming in today, and, you know, good luck. That's all I can say really at this point.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. So you have been tuning in to Talk on Local Live Call-In Show. The time is 1:31, and as always, we will be back next week with another guest. Bye.